Hi, it's Dave. This past week, Mark Cuban, investor and owner of the Dallas Mavericks, was on CNBC, and he was talking about his concerns of a stock market bubble. In this video, I'm going to share a highlight clip and share my thoughts on this interview. All right, I'm coming to you on the road. I'm filming these recent episodes in my 25-foot RV where my family of four have been living in for the past month or so, and we still have a few more months to go. This past 2 weeks, we were in Yellowstone doing dry camping and boondocking, and it was just an amazing time. We were able to see a bunch of animals and just amazing scenery, rivers, geysers, mountains, and just be blown away by what nature has. One of the highlights was we were camping at this one site, and just 40 feet away, there was a bison who was just hanging out from our campsite. And so for 6 hours, literally, this bison was just roaming around, eating, hanging out in generally the same spot. And we were able to eat dinner and hang out and for several hours just kind of watch the bison from our RV and also from outside. And our kids just had a blast. We're currently headed up to Glacier National Park where we'll be spending about a week or so. All right, here's the video clip from Mark Cuban on CNBC.
I think people are just chasing performance. I mean, it's a momentum-based market. You know, I don't think this is a fundamentals-driven market and hasn't been since the Fed intervened. You know, I think people are trying to say, what's next? Where's all the money going to go next? And then they try to get ahead of that. And then that plays out. Then they go back to where they were with tech. We've seen this many, many times before. And, you know, and it's just part of what happens in a bull market.
You lived through 1999. You think this is anything like that when you say momentum and just chasing momentum and getting away?
You know, in some respects, it's different because of the Fed and the liquidity they've introduced and the inflation for financial assets that comes with that. But on a bigger picture, it's so similar. I mean, I had my 18-year-old niece asking me, you know, what stock she should invest in because her friends are making 30% per day, you know, and other people just randomly asking me that never look at stocks at all, what stocks that they should invest in. You know, everybody's a genius in a bull market and everybody's making money right now because you've got the Fed put. And, you know, that brings people in who otherwise wouldn't participate. Yeah, I think we're very similar to what's going on in the 1990s. And, you know, as I look at my portfolio, which is still very heavy on Amazon and Netflix, I have to keep on reminding myself that the internet bubble lasted multiple years. You know, it went from 1995 to early 2000. And so it wasn't like, oh, we're in a bubble, then all of a sudden the bubble is over months later. It lasted for years. And so it's difficult to have patience sometimes and recognize that there's still a lot of money that can come in and chase that performance. You know, people tell their friends, hey, look at how much money I'm making. You know, my niece and her friends, you know, other kids that I know are asking me questions on TikTok about stocks. And so it's different, but it's so analogous in so many ways, but we still have to be patient. It doesn't mean it's going to end tomorrow. Yeah, in this market, you can be a trader, but longer term, traders typically end up losing all their money. And so you want to be an investor longer term and understand what you're doing.
All right, I want to share some of my thoughts on this video. Number one, bubbles can last a long time. Oftentimes in exuberant markets or even bubbles, it's the last stage of the bubble or the exuberant market where the most appreciation happens. A great example was the last housing bubble in the US. It was the last 2 years or so where the greatest appreciation happened. Oftentimes people pull out too early before this last stage and they miss out on those gains. But on the flip side, there's another problem where you could be holding on to an asset in the bubble maybe too long. There's a reversal that happens and maybe it's just not that desirable of an asset and the price of that asset just really drops significantly. A lot of novice traders in the stock market, they just don't have stop losses, meaning they're not limiting their losses. But the experienced traders in the stock market, they know how to limit their losses. They know how to be disciplined with that. And oftentimes they'll reverse their position when opportunity arises, while the novice trader is only trading one direction. All right, number two, you can be a short-term trader, but probably it's better to be an investor. You see, I have nothing against short-term trading per se. Actually, I think if you're really good at it, you can actually do quite well. And in fact, in a certain angle, everything is about trading. It's just the time horizon might be different. Some people might have a really short time horizon. It might be a day or week or month. And other people might have a really long time horizon that might be decades. I think though with short-term trading, it does have a specific set of challenges, and that's with skills and discipline. You really need the right skills and the right discipline and build that up over time in order to be really successful with short-term trading. However, in a bull market, an exuberant market, you're kind of lax and you don't need to build up those skills or discipline, and you still ride the wave and still get great profits. However, when the market reverses, the lack of skill and lack of discipline really show up and traders take a big fall. Investing also has its unique set of challenges as well. It's just with a longer time horizon. It might be difficult to really identify that outlier, that standout company that's really going to grow and be successful over 5 to 10 years. Oftentimes we can misjudge a company and buy the hype or just buy a stock because other people are buying it without having the conviction ourselves. Or other times we might buy into a mediocre company and might be lulled by just mediocre returns. All right, number three, momentum versus fundamentals. Mark Cuban says he thinks the market has become a momentum-based market where people are just chasing wherever money is going or where they think money is going to, rather than basing companies off of fundamentals and multiples. And I have to agree to a certain extent, because what I see out there is not a lot of people are talking about valuation or multiples or fundamentals, but rather they're just talking about gains and how far a stock can go regardless of the fundamentals. And underlining a lot of that is a fear of missing out. I also noticed that for those who do talk about fundamentals, is that the multiples investors are willing to pay are getting stretched further out. For example, if I was willing to pay a 30 times multiple of earnings for a company 2 years out, now that multiple is being stretched where I'm having to pay 30 times multiple for the company's earnings 4 or 5 years out. Now, this presents a unique set of challenges and risks. Number one, it's harder to find bargains. And the reason for this is because we're stretching the multiples we're paying further and further out for the earnings of the company. In other words, you're paying more into the future to invest in certain companies. Number two, there's higher risk. Currently, the market has a lot of appetite for risk. People love growth companies, and they love to pay a hefty premium for whatever growth they can find. But if the market reverses and the appetite that investors have for risk dies down, we're going to see those multiples shrink, and as a result, the stock prices will shrink as well. Number three, it's hard to be out of the market completely. Because everything is going up, it's really hard to tell when the market's going to reverse. And a lot of times people are doubting if the market's going to reverse anytime soon. Because of that, it's difficult to pull all your money into cash and just to sit out of the market. So the challenge is, how do you deal with an exuberant market? Personally, I deal with an exuberant market in the following ways. Number one, I try to value my stock portfolio, my stock investments, lower and significantly lower than market value. Sometimes I might value my current stock holdings at half price or even a third price of market value. And that's because market downturns and economic crises and recessions are just inevitable part of the economic cycle. And I'm expecting them to come at some time. Number two, I try to invest in the decade winner. What I try to do is I try to elongate the time horizon. And I look over the next 10 years, and I say, who's going to be the great winner in this decade? Who's going to have the most growth? And who's going to come up with the best products? Who's going to enter these new markets? And more importantly, who's going to infiltrate culture? Who's going to dominate word of mouth marketing? And whose products are really going to set the trend? I think if I can identify those big decade winners, then I can ride out the ups and downs, because my gains will be far higher than just trying to trade the short-term movements. Number three, I try to find truth in an exuberant market, but I taper it with reality. Most bubbles and exuberant markets have an element of truth to it. For example, take the internet bubble. Back in 1999, everyone was pumped up and the stock market was going berserk. And there was a level of truth where people were coming to the realization that the internet was going to dominate everything. And there's some truth to that. The internet is probably the greatest revolution in the history of mankind. It's just that adoption doesn't happen overnight, and it can take oftentimes many years. All right, I'd love to hear from you guys. Are we in a stock market bubble or not? What's your strategy? What's your approach? If this video has been helpful, please like it and subscribe to my channel to keep updated. In this channel, we're looking at investment topics from quantitative and qualitative views, and we're trying to get beneath the surface of things, trying to look at things from a deeper angle. You can also find me on Twitter at HeyDave, H-E-Y-D-A-V-E 7, and we'll see you in my next video. Thanks.